The Pentagon's latest report to Congress on acquisition costs showed it had 7 major programs that breached the so-called Nunn-McCurdy threshold in 2010, meaning their costs overran their original estimates by at least 15%. The new directives from DoD officials aim not just to keep program costs at the level they were originally estimated to be, but to bring them in below that. One carrot they're providing is that DoD services and components will be able to keep the dollar difference after they proved to their comptroller that they truly did achieve savings. That is, of course, unless the defense secretary determines that money needs to be shifted around for urgent needs. The framework they've set up to do it is what Ashton Carter, the defense undersecretary for acquisitions, has been calling should cost versus will cost.
Will cost is what the cost estimators tell you you are destined to pay for something if you keep doing things the way you're doing them. They are in general credible, but they are also in general depressing because they tell you that you're going to spend more money than you want to, and these days more money than you can afford.
Carter speaking at a recent missile defense conference. Those will cost numbers are based on historical experience with similar programs, and Carter says they drive a vicious cycle. He says the acquisition community manages programs based on what they have cost in the past, so those big price tags become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Instead, he says DoD should treat those estimates more like a weather forecast.
I like to contrast those forecasts with what I think is the manager's responsibility, which is a separate should-cost exercise, an exercise in which you go through in detail the cost of each one of your programs and understand what it is you should be paying. Why has that item on the bill increased year upon year over the last 3 years? What can you do to bring that ramp down? What are you doing about overheads and indirects? Working with your industry partner and incentivizing them, and that's critical, appropriately, work those cost estimates down, so that the life you lead is not the life projected for you.
Under a memo signed by Carter on Friday and made public today, developing and providing those should-cost estimates is now mandatory for every DoD service and component, and each military service is required to compile an annual report on all of its should-cost progress. The first one is due in November. Carter told each of the military services to come up with 5 acquisition programs that can serve as models for implementing the should-cost model to show Congress what kind of savings are possible. He told a House Appropriations hearing earlier this month that the services had already gotten to work.
The should-cost method is already being used to drive down costs in the Global Hawk program and the Joint Strike Fighter program, which I'll remind you the latter is the largest, department's larger, and is an important one since it's the backbone of tactical air power for the United States and many other countries.
Other programs the services have offered up as should-cost examples include the Navy's Littoral Combat Ship, the Army Joint Air-to-Ground Missile, and the Air Force's Evolved Expendable Launch Vehicle. The should-cost estimates are an internal management tool as far as official budget estimates and any other reporting outside the department. They'll use the old will-cost estimates. Carter's memo says there are incentives, both carrots and sticks, to implement the should-cost line of thinking. For government managers, he says finding savings will free up money they can use elsewhere, and from now on, should-cost results will be part of how program managers and program executive officers will have their performance evaluated. The memo also lists 10 methods government managers should use to arrive at a should-cost figure that's lower than the will-cost estimate, like scrutinizing and challenging indirect costs in vendor proposals, finding alternative technologies that will bring down a program's life cycle costs, and benchmarking against other programs, both in government and the private sector. Carter says real savings are achievable, and with large programs, even a few percentage points will make a big difference.
The country's looking to us to give them what they expect, what we have on the books, what we say they need and they do need, and not less, for a not ever increasing amount of money. It's not an unreasonable request. It's a goal that we can reach, and it really is our duty to reach.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.